Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good afternoon, folks. I am Jay McNally, and I am filling in for Gary Wellings, who at this very minute is in Florida doing fun things in a condo down there. He is going to call in a little bit from Florida to just touch base with us and make sure that the world is still turning. I'm in the studio with Drake, who is a familiar voice to everybody here at Wham. Drake does a community calendar, commercials, and news. And we are going to be talking about all sorts of things, including Father's Day. Before, I have a show at noon, and before the show, I thought I would take a look at some great Father's Day songs. And I was surprised to see, in a rather cursory and quick investigation, that most songs about Father's Day seem to be about fathers that didn't quite get there where it wasn't effusive praise for dad.
They didn't measure up.
They didn't measure up. And I think that's the situation. I'm a father of three grown children, and I of course had a father who was, depending on how you look at it, a complex character. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us have very complex lives, especially when you first hold that little baby in the maternity ward. There's all sorts of thoughts that go through your head as the father, and I'm sure the same is true of mothers. And part of that is, number one, I wonder what kind of kid this is going to be, and perhaps even more, which probably most men would never admit, I wonder if I'm up to speed to do the right thing. And so we're going to play a little later on in the show, we're going to play some two wonderful Father's Day songs, as well as the very, very great poem by Rudyard Kipling that talks about what it takes to be a man, which I think is great advice for fathers to give to any child. But first, let's get to Gary, who is reporting from some undisclosed location in Florida. Gary, thanks for being with us. Drake is in the studio with us.
Jay, Drake, thank you so much for filling in for me. I'm glad you guys could jump in and take care of that for me.
Yeah, happy to do it. Yeah. Happy to do it.
Thanks for having us. Gary, are you secretly part of the 1%? I mean, you're always on these jet set trips, you know, in Florida at undisclosed locations.
Yeah, you're a newspaper publisher.
When you travel in coach on Delta Airlines, you are not the 1%. You know what I mean?
You're not with the Bilderbergs in a secret meeting?
No, I'm not with the Bilderbergs. I might be with the Goldsteins down here, but I'm not with the Bilderbergs.
Alex Jones isn't hanging around harassing you?
Yes, that's correct. I'm flea-free when it comes to the Bilderbergs. So, it is Father's Day, so I came down to Florida, and it's not undisclosed. I'm in Flagler Beach, which I think is one of the best places in Florida, and staying at a wonderful place. And came down for Father's Day and my mother and father's 55th anniversary. Actually, Don and Margaret Wellings having their 55th anniversary this year.
Oh, wow. So you're with them today. Are they listening in?
They will be listening in. They're probably a couple miles away.
Oh, awesome.
At this point. But, they normally listen in, or they listen in on podcasts if they miss it by some chance. But,
you know, you're very fortunate to still have your father with you. My dad died when I was 25 years old. And I often think, as I took all sorts of left turns and right turns after that, I often wonder, what would I have done differently if my dad could have weighed in and said, Jay, you know, maybe you should think twice about that? Because I was aware of the wise counsel of my parents. And suddenly when you don't have the parent, you don't have that wise counsel.
Hey, let me ask you, too. You're both fathers.
Yep.
And do you find yourself, as you've raised your kids over the years, in your case, Jay, all three of your boys, right?
I have two boys, a 29, a girl 27, and a son who is 23.
Okay, so no longer kids per se. They're young adults. And my bottom line question is, do you two find yourself modeling after your dad in ways that maybe you didn't even realize as you were raising your kids?
Oh, that's a great question.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think I know.
I have, Jay. I am probably more stern than my father, you know, and whether that's good or not, I don't know. I mean, I've got a 9-year-old son who I adore, and he's a good kid, you know.
And he's a great
kid. I've got a 16-year-old daughter now, getting close to 16, who's mad at me, obviously. Hasn't spoke to me in a while. But, you know, I've tried to be a stern father, and a lot of times I think after I say something, I'm like, ooh, I guess I sound just like Dad.
You know, there is a great film in the movie RV, which I think really speaks to the the issue of raising a daughter. And that is, the movie starts with Robin Williams as a young child talking, reading a night story to his little girl. And the little girl says, Daddy, I want to marry you. She's probably 6 or 8 years old. And Robin Williams says, oh, darling, dear, I can guarantee you when you get older, you may have another man who is you're more interested in. And then the daughter says, oh, no, that'll never happen. And then in my case, my daughter actually used to say to me, although it was always a threat, she said, Daddy, if you don't do this or that or the other thing, I'm not going to marry you. She was probably 5 years old. But in this Robin Williams film, the next scene, you have this tender opening scene of him reading the story to the daughter who wants to marry him. The next scene has Robin Williams driving an RV, you know, white knuckled, driving in rushing traffic. And so the focus on him, and then behind him is his daughter, who is probably about 16 years old. She's got earphones on to a disc player, and the daughter says, Dad, you're such a jerk. I think all parents can relate to that. That point, what's his name? Mark Twain said he remembers how smart his dad was when he was just a child. And then after he got to be 17, 18 years old, his dad got really dumb. And then suddenly he started getting pretty smart again at about age 25 or so. So,
you two being fathers again.
Isn't that the fact? You know, you think that way, and then all of a sudden, you know, boy, I'm glad I learned that from Dad. You know,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Here's another question for you two being fathers. The older you get, do you realize the effect your father had on you as an adult that much more? As opposed to, say, when you were a teenager or in your 20s or 30s. I'm finding that's the case for me. As I get older, I'm able to look back and kind of connect the dots and analyze things like, well, maybe I did this because of that, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, my dad's life was, my dad was a shoe merchant. I only knew him as a man who ran a retail shoe store. And he actually wanted me to take over the business, which it was a management, quote-unquote, management position. Only, you know, two or three employees, small little shoe store. But I found it dreadfully, half the time, dreadfully boring. My dream was always to be a newspaper guy. But the little lessons my dad taught me were ones that in times of crisis, they always were sort of like the foundation of where I stood. And one of them was my dad was, opens a door for a much wider discussion about commerce and business. But my dad was part of a dying industry, the shoe industry. And the shoe industry in America was using machinery that was literally 100 years old. They made old technology, leather shoes. And suddenly they were being replaced by plastic shoes. And the whole industry, the old line shoe manufacturing business, their catalogs would actually say, we make honest shoes. My dad had a sense that if you were selling the customer shoes that looked like leather that were not leather, there was something dishonest about it. And he had this, talk about rigid. He had this absolutely firm commitment to total above board honesty in business. And I think that is in large part because when he tried to start out, he had 7 children, and he had been actually fired from his job in the auto industry because he tried to form a union. So he lost his job. He was flat on his back. Was able to find a woman who sold a shoe store to him. She loaned him the money to buy her shoe store because the fellow had died. And my dad said that He never could have gotten into business if he wasn't loaned and given credit by a tiny little shoe manufacturer in Pennsylvania. So he was absolutely fiercely loyal to them for giving him this break when he was just starting out. And that was, I think that was the lesson that was taught to me. You know, you have, number one, you absolutely must be fiercely loyal to your friends and above completely honest. I mean, that was the whole thing in that business, you know, the shoe business.
Yeah. And you know what's shocking, Jay, is that you don't see that those two things anymore. You don't see the loyalty anymore and you don't see the honesty.
Oh, right. Yeah. Our sadly, our whole culture is too often grounded in phoniness, you know.
Yeah, subterfuge.
The advertising industry, you know, the old phrase, sell the sizzle, don't sell the steak, and so forth. Yeah.
Promise the world, deliver not much.
Yeah. So, Gary,
go ahead.
Your father's probably listening. Tell us some of the great stories growing up that you recall, that lessons from the father, so to speak.
Well, I'll probably give you my favorite story is my father spent a lot of his years coaching Little League with us and playing baseball. And probably the thing I remember most is being dragged off the baseball field after I made an obscene gesture to the umpire.
By your dad? By your dad?
Call. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad dragged me right off the field in front of everybody, you know. And some of the parents like, "Oh, you shouldn't do that," but you know, I deserved it. I was a rotten little bugger, you know.
Wow.
So that's one that probably sticks out in his mind and my mind because I'm sure he got a raft of calls from people saying, "Hey, you can't treat your kid that way."
Well, that's
I deserved every minute and another beating to boot, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
Yeah, so your dad actually taught you there's so many lessons in our, you know, Derek Stone, who's our producer here, in my show at noon, I asked Derek, what's the great, great story you have of growing up? Derek, tell us.
Well, Jay, the fondest memory I had growing up was when I went to Tiger Stadium back in August of 1991 for the very first time and walking into that stadium with all the glory of Tigers past to was just an unbelievable feeling going there, learning the game of baseball, and seeing that very historic stadium.
Awesome. You know,
I wanted to comment on what Gary said. Gary, you know, what you described, what your dad did, I think is such a great thing because in today's culture, what I observe and witness is that kids get away with murder and the parents not only don't discipline them, but back them up. Go to a public library and see what the kids do in these libraries these days. And if there's any type of reprimand from a librarian or somebody they've hired to enforce the rules, the parents are right in there backing their kid up no matter what their kid does. It's incredible. I've witnessed it. You see it out in public in stores. You see it with teachers when the kids act up and don't do their work and talk back. And the parents not only, like I said, don't discipline their kids, they back those kids up and reinforce that bad behavior. Hence the society that we now live in.
Yes, absolutely.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we've stopped disciplining our children. You know, we've spared the rod and we've spoiled the child, and now we wonder why we have such rotten people running our country and living in our country. It's because we did it. We did it to ourselves by not disciplining our own children.
Parents,
you know,
spoiling their kids and trying to be their best friend to the detriment of the child because these kids are oblivious to their own actions and how they affect others around them. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's remarkable the teaching opportunities that so many parents just ignore. I used to give my kids a bit of a lesson because I think including me when I was a young kid, there's I think it comes up with puberty, this anti-authoritarian spirit. One time we had a big fight with my eldest son who was starting to get the idea that he wanted to wear T-shirts to church every single Sunday for months perhaps. We had this knockdown drag-out fight, and finally I sat him down and I said, Sean, let's get something straight here. You are turning into a man, which means you're going to want to make your own decisions and you're going to want to do things your way. And on the other hand, we still see you as a little kid and we we are having a hard time making this adjustment as you are. I said, however, there are certain things that I'm willing to change on and certain things I will never, ever, ever change on. And one of those is T-shirts at Mass. We are going to win this battle every single Sunday, no matter, your parents, you know, my wife and I are going to win this one. So I said, is this really a battle worth fighting? And he, I think a light went on in his head, and he said, you know, there might be something to that. After that, we had harmonious and peaceful Sunday mornings. Yeah. But I found with my kids,
saw the common sense in it, you know.
That's what I did. You know, I tried to, and especially on the sensitive issues like drinking and staying out late at night, and all these things that every single kid does. I tried to, rather than just lay down the law and say, you will not do this, I tried to say, why don't we think about what happens when you're out, you know, having had even a little bit to drink at, you know, 1 a.m. after a football game. And I would actually get copies. I used to be a newspaper guy, so I used to have to write these stories. And I told my kids the story 100 times. I said, you know, I used to have to go to the scene of an accident where 5 teenagers were killed because the driver was drunk. And I said, and then I would clip out articles that were in the newspapers, and I would say, look at the consequences of this kind of behavior. You know, it has nothing to do with your age or parents saying, don't get drunk after a football game. I said, it just makes common sense not to be on the road when people are drunk. So I tried to do the common sense thing. And in so many cases, it actually worked. And in some cases, I think the kids even today think I'm a little bit crazy.
I got a quick little story. My brother-in-law, I was visiting my sister and brother-in-law, and they have a son and a daughter. And at this time, the son was 7. And I can't remember what my brother-in-law was wanting his son to do. Whether it was clean his room or whatever, I can't remember. But his son was being, my nephew was being resistant.
Sure.
And so I'm watching this. And my brother-in-law, instead of bribing him like a lot of parents do, like, hey, if you clean your room, we'll go get ice cream.
Right,
or if you stop crying, we'll get ice cream, which means if you cry more in the future, a reward is coming, which is wrong way
Absolutely.
To approach things. Anyway, he's looking at his nephew, who's a very beautiful child, you know, very expressive, big eyes and everything. And he says, son, here's the way it's going to work. He goes, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. Now, the easy way is you go and you clean your room and everything's peaceful.
And you have a clean room.
Yeah. And the hard way is that, you know, there's going to be...
Break your bones. We're going to smash you around a little bit.
Fire and brimstone.
And you're still going to clean your room.
Exactly. You're still going to clean your room. So he goes, now, son, either way, it's your choice. But why you would choose the hard way, I don't understand. But you're welcome to choose that way. And his eyes got even wider, and you saw the light bulb go on. I was so impressed by that.
Yeah.
And he got it. And he went and did what he was supposed to do and realized that, hey, my dad will follow through. This is not an empty threat. And that's what it takes, I think, to be a good parent is you follow through.
Absolutely, yeah. You tell the kid what say, quote-unquote, truth is, what reality is, what basic harmony is, and you can live.
And his son may not have been thrilled at that moment with that scenario, but that represents a sense of security for a young child that, hey, there's boundaries, and my parents Absolutely. Are there to enforce those boundaries, and that makes me feel like, hey, I am living a protected, safe, secure life, and I'm going to learn
Absolutely.
From that, and they're going to carry that forward to their kids, hopefully.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Gary.
Lots of discipline.
In my show earlier today at noon, I played a poem by Rudyard Kipling that fits in with Father's Day so well. And in the short time since I broadcast it, I've gotten several comments that people enjoyed it. So let's listen to that. This is a great story or a great poem for Father's Day. It's A Father Giving Advice to His Son by Rudyard Kipling. It's on the internet, 14 variations of it, or excuse me, 14 narratives, you know, on video and YouTube. So this is one from a very famous guy in England. The title is If by Rudyard Kipling.
If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating. and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thought your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And, which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
Okay, great. Rudyard Kipling's If, a very famous poem that has so many great lessons for children about what it takes actually to be a man. So, Gary, what's it like in Florida? It's got to be hot down there.
Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. We got the wind coming in on the beach, and it's about 90 degrees. And, you know, speaking of that poem, Jay, I think President Obama could learn some lessons from that.
Oh, yeah, you could learn a lot of lessons.
Well, walk with kings. He is the king, isn't he?
Yeah.
He thinks he's the king anyway. But,
walks on water.
Before we end the show here, let's do my sponsor real quick. The first half hour anyway is Aero Companies, AARO, Facility Services since 1945. They are hiring right now. And I'm hoping a listener or maybe the friend of a listener will be interested in working for Aero Companies. They're looking for part-time cleaners. So if you're underemployed or unemployed, you can contact Vicky, V-I-C-K-I, at aerocompanies.com. And that's Aero, A-A-R-O, companies.com. Or you can call 586-759-3700. So I'm hoping we can get somebody employed off this. They're my sponsor at thedailydrift.com.
Cool.
And here on the radio show.
So the Daily Drift is your website in which you post every day links to some hot stories from authoritative sources, and you also are the co-publisher of The Current magazine, or excuse me, news. I keep calling it magazine. I don't know why.
The Current.
The Current.
Well, technically, we are monthly, so we would be a magazine as opposed to a newspaper, but I can't seem to get away from the newspaper image, so.
Yeah,
and the Current's doing very well. So, and that's out. The June issue is out now, so we're already working on the July issue. So.
Awesome. And I've got a column in it in which I, in this issue, I talk about the hubris, which is, of course, right. The arrogance that comes with power and influence, and we can see that writ large in Barack Obama.
Right.
Okay, stick with us. Yeah. We are going for a break. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Be
people are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theronex. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Colorado's most destructive wildfire is now 45% contained.
The good news is we didn't lose any more land and we did not lose any more structures.
El Paso County Sheriff Terry Makita just now on the fire, which has so far destroyed 473 homes. Arson investigators are trying to work on the point of origin.
Two people have died in this fire, and they're still saying at this point that they do not believe that this was caused by lightning or a rock slide. They think that this was human caused.
Fox's Alicia Acuna, a new missing person report has been filed. Federal investigators expected in Louisiana at the site of an explosion last night that killed one worker at a chemical plant in Donaldsville. There was another chemical plant blast in the area on Thursday. And a moderate cleric, Hassan Rouhani, has been declared the winner of Iran's presidential election. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Don't miss Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. Your fingers will be popping. It all kicks off at 4 p.m. with a special Saturday night edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show.
I came to rock, baby. I don't know about you.
Then, from 6 to 8, it's Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie.
Sharing with you music I love.
At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots with Radio John D's Greasy Skillet.
Sit back and relax while we hit those wagon ruts.
Then, Johnny Danger invites you to go cruising with the best oldies from 10 to midnight.
We've got the mix going tonight on the Cruising Show.
Dan Martin takes you across the pond for the best of the UK on London Calling at midnight.
The Stones and their 1963 rendition of the Lennon-McCartney track, I Wanna Be Your Man.
Followed by Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go, from 2 to 4.
Your friend of mine, Mr. Rockin' Lloyd Tripp and his band, the Zip Guns. I am DJ Del Villarreal.
It all starts Saturday afternoon at 4 on the musical side of Wham!
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham! Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enemedia are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham! Talk 1600.
Yeah! You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Welcome back, folks. I am Jay McNally, host of the American Dream Show at noon, and I'm filling in for Gary with Drake, who is a familiar face to everybody here at Wham. He does the news, commercials, and community calendar.
Well, I'm told I have a face for radio, so more familiar with my voice, I think.
You have what a friend of mine actually used to own a radio station, and he says they call it pipes.
Pipes.
I don't have the pipes. You do. You have that sort of authoritative voice that sounds like you know what you're talking about.
Well, I got everybody fooled then.
Okay, so let's. We were just talking with Gary Wellings, who is, of course, the host of this show, And we were talking about Father's Day, and we recited the, we didn't recite, we played a recitation of the great poem by Rudyard Kipling called If. And one of the things, I was just reading the text of this, and toward the end of this, this is Kipling's advice to a young person, a little boy, a boy, and he's talking about what it takes for this guy to be a man, and he runs through all these specific instances where one has to be strong. One of the lines here is, if you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue. And I think that is one powerful line, keep your virtue. In my show, I keep trying to talk about, in the American Dream, how America was really built on the idea of a virtue, on the idea of Lord Acton's phrase, absolute power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and how the founding fathers put together a system of government that allows everybody to keep their virtue, and it keeps the balances, you know, the checks and balances through the three branches of the government, keep things in balance and always are aimed at keeping the power in the hands of the people. We say we the people rather than paying homage to the king and all the rest of them. So it seems that especially here at WHAM, we are very much involved in the whole effort to get those in government to keep their virtue and to keep us, we the people, focused on what we need to do to enforce some kind of guidance on the rest of the government. So much of what we do is involved with politics. And next week, there are going to be four presentations put together by the Frederick Douglass Society, which I think really speaks to this whole issue of keeping your virtue and moving government and our whole culture in the correct way. The Frederick Douglass Society is headed up in Michigan by Stacy Swimp, who has an incredible story. Stacy's a black fellow who was actually incarcerated for a while, and he talks about how he was a guy in the hood, so to speak, and he was destined for a very sad, tragic ending. And while he was in prison, somebody came to him and gave him some very good advice, probably the same kind of advice that Rudyard Kipling's figure was giving to his son here. And Stacy posted, he has a spectacular Facebook page, and one time he said that the thing that really turned his life around when a guy said, Stacy, if you do this one simple thing, you will be on the right path. He said that if you tell somebody you're going to do something, do it. And Stacy said he put that thought into his head, and it really made a big difference for him. So Stacy today.
And that kind of ties into the Father's Day. One of the concepts we were talking about is a father, you follow through with what you say you're going to do.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole fatherhood thing is as I see it, being a father, and my kids are all in their 20s, geez, oh, Pete, it's a balancing act. It's a balancing act of trying to number one, fulfill your commitments at work, fulfill your commitments to your spouse and to your family, and somehow keep a level head. And
right.
It's hard. Today, it's I don't want to say it's hard work being a dad, but I wonder if it was a lot easier before the electronic age came, because kids are exposed to so much that they never were exposed to before.
Yeah, and with that exposure comes heavy influence, and usually that influence is not good.
Yeah,
with the electronics. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing about the Frederick Douglass Society, I think one of the principles that they embrace is with the freedom that America provides and genders is the personal responsibility to do the right thing and thrive with that freedom.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Stacy keeps saying his voicemail, the voicemail message on his phone has a little phrase where he says, one must remember that there are no barriers to you except those barriers you put in place yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can be, doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, you can be what you should be if you want to be. Anyways, the reason we got onto this is because the Frederick Douglass Society is going to be holding four events, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in in Southeast Michigan. On Wednesday, the event is in Jackson at 6:30. On Thursday, it's in Flint. On Friday, it's in Warren. And on Saturday, it's in Detroit.
And this is called Juneteenth Celebration.
Yeah, which is a great historic what would we call it? Juneteenth. I've never heard. Many people have never heard of Juneteenth, but among the blacks, I guess you'd say, the concept of Juneteenth is a very big thing. It goes back to, I think the Civil War days.
It's a commemoration of the ending of slavery, and reference to the 13th Amendment.
So those who are attending these things, these are very bright lights in Michigan politics and in the African-American community. At one of the events, the one in Warren, C.L. Bryant will be there. He's a big national figure. He's the founder of a group called One Nation Back to God, and he did the film Runaway Slave. Ismael Hernandez, who is from Florida, actually Puerto Rico, but he now lives in Florida. I had him on my talk show last week, and we talked for a full half hour. This guy has an incredible story. He is the son of a committed communist. He was raised a communist. He actually embraced communism until he came to America in about 1991, and he saw that the poison that he had been taught from an early age about the evils of America just were not true at all.
Yeah, the reality wasn't the exact same as the propaganda that was force-fed him his entire
Absolutely,
life.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. The propaganda, yeah. So he now is working very hard among poor people with an institute called the Freedom and Virtue Institute, and he is trying to help turn people away from the what I would call the poverty industry, you know, the social justice lobby that teaches people to become dependent on government largesse, basically to be on the black plantation. Other speakers include Scott Hagerstrom, who is the chairman of the Michigan chapter of Americans Prosperity, and Linda Lee Tarver, who is the ethnic chair of the Michigan Republican Party. Anyways, what you want to do, these are four different events, great speakers targeting the African-American community, and they are sponsored by, each one is sponsored by different people. We've got the one in Warren is being sponsored by Sharon Lolio of Rattle With Us, Tim Boss, who is with both Michigan Right to Work and one of the Tea Parties up in the Troy area. Lisa Valentine is with the Republican Party up in one of those counties up by Genesee. I can't remember exactly which one, and several others. So go, if you're interested in this and being part of a new movement within the black community that's going to make a big difference, check out the Frederick Douglass Society, their Juneteenth events. They're going to be held again Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So that, I was very, I don't want to say inspired, but heartened in a very excellent way when I talked to Ismael Hernandez last week, a former communist who's now doing everything he can to turn the black community, the ethnic minorities, against the social welfare state. It was just absolutely, just a wonderful conversation to have.
Yeah, I heard part of that. It was great.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing about this talk show and this radio station is most of what we are doing is in resistance or hostility to the great movement in our culture, which is really turning our whole country upside down. I mean, look at all the corruption that's going on in Washington, D.C., the IRS scandals, the whole government mess regarding Benghazi.
Benghazi, the NSA.
Yeah, all of that. It just, who ever could have imagined any of this would spin out the way it is?
You know, there's one irony in the NSA controversy that I wanted to bring up with you, and I say this partly tongue-in-cheek, is that if they're truly looking at all of our emails and phone calls and things like that, why can't they find Edward Snowden?
Oh,
I mean, if they can track all of us and he's leaking to the Washington Post and to the Guardian, shouldn't they have caught that as it was happening? Maybe a little sooner before he came forward and Joe Soberin, the actual articles came out.
Joe Soberin, who is a big conservative figure, he was at National Review for many years. He was born and raised in Ypsilanti, but he wrote 20 years ago in regards to another big scandal in which the intelligence community had completely broken down. He said, isn't it something oxymoronic to call it the intelligence community? Because they miss so many things.
Right.
And regarding the Boston thing, remember that the bomber, the young guy who was caught, he was caught not by any of the thousands of policemen who were dispatched to every square inch of Boston. He was caught by some homeowner who walked out of his house
against the rules.
Right. He was forbidden to walk outside of his house, and he did, and he found the guy. The government is really run amok.
Yeah, he was hidden in the guy's boat, right?
In the guy's boat.
Well, that guy's really lucky that he didn't get shot by this gunman, right? Because he was hidden under the tarp, and he was probably badly wounded, so he couldn't fire. But wow.
it speaks to the mindset of the police that they walked past that boat, countless right. times, and they didn't even bother to check inside.
Jace, one thing if you walk out and you want to check on your boat and pull the tarp back and you see like a raccoon or something holed up in there, it's quite another to see a Chechen terrorist with a gun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I imagine that guy was pretty what a mess. What a mess. Okay, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to be back with Drake, and we are filling in for Gary Wellings on The Drift. Stick with us.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Supporters of Michigan Tea Party groups and Liberty Organization have been invited to nominate Michigan legislators to receive the first annual Advanced Freedom Awards. Awards will be given to a state representative and a state senator in recognition of their support of public policies advancing the cause of constitutional government, individual liberty, and economic freedom. In addition to recognizing sitting legislators, awards will be presented to citizens and activists who have made significant contributions to the cause of freedom. The Advanced Freedom Awards will be presented at the first annual Michigan Freedom Celebration on August 13th at the Cromaine Lodge at Walden Woods in Heartland Township. The inaugural edition of this event will be hosted by Retake Our Gov Tea Party Group. Nominations are being accepted by the Awards Committee until June 19th and should be emailed to nominate@retakeourgov.com. For more information, call 810-207-1867. Jazz at the Elks is proud to bring back the clarinet phenomenon Dave Bennett and his quartet. It'll be on Tuesday, June 25th from 7 to 10 p.m. It'll be held at the Plymouth Elks Lodge, 1780 41700 Ann Arbor Road in Plymouth. There's a $10 donation at the door, which includes hors d'oeuvres. For more information about this June 25th performance, call 734-453-1780. Ann Arbor Public Schools is offering free preschool for eligible families. If your child will be 3 or 4 years old before November 1st, 2013, they may be eligible for free preschool. Open enrollment for the preschool program is April through August. Please call 734-994-2303 to schedule an application appointment or for more information.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com.
Experience and quality. These are two important words when it comes to auto body repairs. The last thing you need is more stress. That's why City Body on East Cross Street in Ypsilanti's historic depot town offers the finest quality collision repair service available. And they guarantee their work in writing. City Body can accommodate any collision or glass replacement need. As Ypsilanti's oldest and most recognized repair shop, City Body wants each customer's visit to be a positive experience, and they work diligently towards that goal. Customer services include free loaner cars for qualifying customers, rental cars, hassle-free insurance claims, drive-in estimating with estimates given in 30 minutes, and even towing if your car is undrivable. City Body, 20 East Cross Street in Ypsilanti's Depot Town, and open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 734-482-4737 or visit citybody.com.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
Hey, welcome back. I am Jay McNally. I normally host the American Dream Show on noon here at Wham! Today, I am filling in with Drake for Gary Wellings, who can't be here. He is down in Florida right now. We are off the air. We were just debating, and I think I was winning the debate against Drake about whether Ed Snowden is a hero or a rogue bum who
a traitor.
Yeah, who I heard some big CIA guy or one of the generals said that the death penalty should be operative in the case of this guy, and that he should be brought to quote unquote justice. I think Ed Snowden has done a great thing, and I'm grateful he did it. And the reasons are, number one, the U.S. Constitution guarantees us against unreasonable search and seizure. Most of us probably have suspected that. I know that Google knows just about my whole life. I know that Facebook, anybody can get onto Facebook, especially the administrators there, and know a lot about my life. But until Snowden made this revelation, I didn't know that the federal government had access to all of that, including my phone records and so much more. And I did I read recently that they're actually tape recording something like 20% of all phone conversations in America?
That's a lot of phone conversations.
That's a
lot. How many people would you have to have, you know, employed to listen to all that
thousands
crap?
Upon thousands.
Can you imagine how boring that would be?
Very boring. So I think that's unreasonable. On the face of it, that's unreasonable. And you have this wrong-headed view, Drake.
Well, it's wrong-headed view. Yeah, interpretation. Well, again, it goes back to, you know, what is unreasonable. And yeah. I guess the Supreme Court would have to decide that if it makes it up that far. But what Edward Snowden did, he took upon himself to reveal, you know, quote, national secrets. I think we all kind of knew this was going on. It's, since 9/11, this stuff has been going on. I don't think that the NSA activities are necessarily breaking the law, but I think what Edward Snowden did is breaking the law in that he had to sign certain documents that he would not disclose what he was doing. And I think he's a fool too. The guy was, first it was reported he was making $200,000 a year living in Hawaii. Then it came out $120,000 a year. Regardless, he's making big bucks. He's a high school dropout with a GED.
Right.
He's got a great life, and he goes and ruins it by doing this, by being, in my opinion, a traitor to his country, and then running over to Hong Kong and China and giving them propaganda points against us.
Yeah, well, the question, I think there's nothing reasonable about secretly invading everything you do electronically. I mean, that. Meanwhile, you can go online and find all sorts of diatribes coming from people who cherish American liberties attacking China. China does exactly, it turns out, exactly what we're doing. In China, they can, as they say, see what you're thinking as you type it.
Right, and they're a lot more limited as far as what they can access, the people over there. But here's the thing. Maybe I'm being naive. If we're keeping Americans safe by disrupting terrorist activities, by especially surveilling people overseas like in Pakistan or in Britain that are trying to harm Americans, then I don't have a problem with that. I don't think that they're necessarily trying to just surveil on Jay McNally and set you up for arrest.
But we do know that that's what they're doing. We do know that's what they're doing because the FBI released, or excuse me, the IRS released details of Mitt Romney's tax returns to people, and it eventually got to Harry Reid. The IRS has actually admitted before Congress that they had people who were specifically targeting Tea Party people. And we now see, I saw a headline on Drudge, I haven't had a chance to read the whole article, that there was a reporter from one of the major news outlets who said that she knows, she believes now, and apparently it's been confirmed, that the federal government was into her computer while she was doing this reporting, which was hostile or negative toward the federal government. All of that is completely unreasonable, and it's an unreasonable search and seizure. And I think going in without a warrant to the computer of a reporter is absolutely beyond the pale.
Well, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with any of that. I'm just saying that Snowden could have gone up a chain of command. He could have resigned his position, and he didn't have to go public in the way he did and embarrass us and give our enemies propaganda points and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, how did
and plus key members of Congress were all made aware of this program, were they not?
Say that again.
Key members of Congress were all made aware of PRISM
and that is what is going on. Is doubly noxious to me is that Mike Rogers knew about this, Congress knew about this, and said nothing. We have Gary on the line. Gary is calling in from Florida. Thanks, Gary. Welcome back. We missed you all that 20 minutes or so.
I had to weigh in because you know what? I'm going to agree with you in the first point that, you know what? Hands down, the Fourth Amendment says unreasonable searches and seizures are prohibited. This is a search and seizure of our private phone calls, emails, internet activities. This is prohibited under the Constitution. If you're a constitutionalist in any way, shape, or form, you should say this is unreasonable.
So take that,
and
Drake.
You know what?
Gary, does this mean I've been relieved of my duties?
Foreign phone calls in and out of the country. I don't have a problem with that. But me calling you or you calling Drake or anything else within the country, you know, that should not be looked at. If you're going to profile, just go ahead and profile. But profile the people who are doing the damage, and that would be people out of country and Muslim extremists here in this country.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with that, Gary.
If this was working, Drake, if this were working, why didn't they catch the Sarnoff brothers? Because you know what? They already had even more information direct from Russia on that. Why didn't they catch the Fort Hood shooter who was speaking to
Those are good points, but they claim that they have disrupted, dozens of other terrorist attacks?
That's
what they claim. You can't get them all, and there is incompetence, but they've got others.
The experts say this information, this massive dragnet, is inconsequential to what they have done. And I would believe that, you know what, if you have a good intelligence community, you already are profiling and narrowing it down. You don't need a broadband wholesale cover-up to try and dragnet everybody into this.
At the hearings last week, and there's a link to it on YouTube, the FBI director admitted that they were not surveilling the mosque in Boston. They are under rules not to go after certain mosques.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Mosques.
Yeah.
Totally ridiculous.
That is
so
stupid.
This is so politically
correct.
It's outright
stupid.
Absolutely. So, yeah, Snowden, we'll see how this whole thing spins out, because I think it's questionable if he has allegiances to another country. But I think it's very important that Americans know that every single thing they say or do electronically
goes too fast.
This is way too fast. Thanks for joining us. We have been on.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Gary. You've been listening to Jay McNally. I am filling in with Drake for Gary Willings. Gary Wellings on the Drift.
Drift.
Gary is the publisher of the Current newspaper, which is on newsstands right now, and you'll probably be receiving it next.
And also check out thedailydrift.com.
Okay, and also have a happy Father's Day. Tell your father he's a pretty good guy. If he is a good guy, and if he's not a good guy, say, Dad, you can be an even better guy than you are. Thanks a lot. Happy Father's Day, all. Have a great weekend.